Welcome in, dear Shoujo listeners. This is take two of today's episode.
You should tell them, man.
Let's pretend I had a really good intro for that one. And that I spent it all already.
It was amazing. It was all in tune. Also, she like self-harmonized in a way I didn't think was possible. It was pretty wild. I was like, oh my God. Yep. But it turns out I wasn't recording, so you guys don't get to hear it. I want you to close your eyes for a moment and imagine what that would have sounded like.
Totally. Super duper happened. We're the podcast. Oh my God. This is my chance to redeem my absent-minded former self in that last recording. And nope. Yes, we cover shoujo anime.
Right.
I'm Sarah, showing Joe shoujo. Worst opening ever, possibly.
No. I feel like there have been worse ones. It's okay.
Okay, cool.
I'm sure it's happened. We've recorded a lot of episodes. There's no way this is the worst one.
We have. Because we rule at consistency.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I am so stuffy. And it's okay. Literally. all within the span of like the last 20 minutes for some reason. Thank God Joe does most of the talking.
And let me tell you, we covered 3 episodes today, so I'm going to be doing a lot of talking.
Yeah. Okay. These episodes were so good. 5 through 7 of A Sign of Affection, the show we're currently covering.
The title of the episode.
Yes. Hopefully that was a hint. But before we do that, Joe, why don't you catch us up while I try to gather myself?
This weekend, a couple days ago, I went to the movies. I got my movie film hat out and I went and I sat in my little chair that reclined and I watched one Jurassic World Fallen King. No, I didn't watch that one. I watched Jurassic World Rebirth. That's what it is. And I can't talk about it because we have bonus episodes coming about it. But that's what I did. And let me tell you, movie theaters are expensive.
Indeed, they are.
Why do they cost so much? I had a ticket to go. Like an AMC theater I got through work because it was my birthday or whatever. So they like gave you 2 tickets, which is kind of fun. But if I didn't use that, it would cost me $13. But I'm like, okay, well, this is going to be free. So I could just like buy food or whatever. Like, I'll buy popcorn. I never do that. Cause it's like, whatever. And like, it's so expensive to buy like a drink and popcorn. It was like $18 or something.
Oh my God.
Which I did because I'm like, whatever. I haven't eaten. And this is a 2-hour movie. By the time I get out, it'll be 9 p.m.
It's
so
crazy how I didn't realize how long it was because like nothing happens. But that because I was looking at going and seeing it again so that I'll just furiously take notes in the dark. But
I think it's a really easy to remember plot.
Well, yes. More so I can like more accurately tear it apart with
you
know, my nitpicky comments that no one else is going to pay attention to. But I'm going to be like, her hair looked dumb in this scene, blah, blah, blah.
Wow. Gotta focus on the important stuff.
Uh-huh. As I always do. Yeah. Because I just got an Alamo Drafthouse membership thingy because I'm going to try and see more movies.
Oh, that's good. That's probably worth it, honestly. I never knew if those were worth it because they seem kind of expensive. But now that I look at regular tickets, it seems worth it again.
Yeah. Yes. So I'll go and see Rebirth again, but it mostly just so I can have more reasons to go eat those fried pickles because they're the best fried pickles I've ever had. But anyways, other than seeing that incredible movie, what else have you been up to?
What else have I been up to? Have I been up to other stuff? Maybe I just haven't. Let's see. I haven't finished. I finished a book like a week ago that I didn't talk about. I finished the 4th Earthsea book. Finally, after like stopping reading, I've like decided I'm going to read in the evenings now. And I was able to finish that book because it's fairly short. So I read Tehanu, the 4th Earthsea book. Idea of it is like, hey, what if you were just like a middle-aged woman living in the world of Earthsea under like, but you still have all the patriarchy suck and it basically sucks because you don't have a lot of autonomy and every guy's an asshole to you. And then in the last two chapters, the plot happens. That is Tehanu. It's really good. I had a pretty good time with it. It was a weird structure for a book, but, you know, it's pretty good. It's just weird because, like, I'm reading this one, which is, like, about being a woman in the world, and then my book club book, which we're taking an extremely long time to read through, is Elia's Grace, which is basically the same thing, except it's, like, instead of being a middle-aged woman, she's, like, you know, 19. She's older now, but she's like telling a story about when she was 19. So lots of books about women just living in the world and how it's
that's good, because we certainly didn't get that in English class through school, did we?
What did you read? I had to read Anna Karenina
specifically. What the hell is that? I mean, Scarlet Letter's the only female protagonist I think of any book I was required to read. Than was that I picked for myself, like The Bluest Eyes and The Color Purple. But one of my English pre-AP teacher, ninth grade, told me, you know, we have to read books with male characters because boys your age can't relate to women's perspective, but girls can relate to everyone's. What? You told me that.
Wow. That's wild.
Because we were reading freaking, you know, I Am the Cheese. I will say I absolutely adored The Count of Monte Cristo, but yeah, all dude protagonists.
It's funny that, like, that they would say that, like, oh, you can't relate to these people, but, like, I don't know. Like, most of the books I read, I didn't relate to anybody in them either.
That's true.
Even though I'm a guy. It's like, I read the freaking Grapes of Wrath. Did I relate to anybody in that? No. I read The Great Gatsby. God. Did I relate to anybody in that? No.
I really did not enjoy this. These were like not... Well, In Cold Blood. That's another one I enjoyed. But freaking...
I didn't read that.
It's like semi-based. It's like Truman Capote did a book that's supposed to be based off true events, but maybe he had a very skewed perception or like twisted things to his. Yeah. But it was like a Kansas family was murdered in the middle of the night and the whatever, blah, blah, blah.
I feel like the only book I read that I kind of like most, like the one I related to the most with, not like directly, but the one I was like the most enraptured by, for some reason I had to read Invisible Man twice, which is about a black guy. It's basically this guy who like gets in increasingly weird and surreal situations.
Okay, I was just thinking of the like scary movie that
Invisible Man. It's about like racism and stuff, but it's like he gets in a lot of like very bizarre scenarios, and I was just like, this is why I would also be like, what the hell is happening?
Oh, it's pretty man.
Good. It's a good one.
Because I just listened, I like attended this, I find the link for the channel, but I listened into this panel for gender in video games, like in historical based video games. It was very interesting listening to, I can't remember the name of it, like Historical Gaming Network or something along those lines, but they do like a bunch of panels on different subjects, but it was interesting to listen to. And I think I only brought that up because I had mentioned that in the chat in the panel about what my teacher said to me. Where were we going? Oh, right. Anything else you're up to?
All right, I read a book. Did I do anything else? No, not really. I'm still watching through all the stuff.
Okay.
I'm trying to watch through three shows at the same time and it's slowing me down.
Oh dang. I watched a few things. Okay. I watched the new Final Destination because it was on HBO, and Final Destination Bloodlines. It was okay. I feel like it was like, were the past ones so bad that people were like, oh, this one's good? Because this one was just whatever. Too much CGI. Way too much CGI. Like, I don't remember if they used practical effects in the original one, but like, it's just so... Everything CGI, literally. Even scenes where they could have done it practically. And then I watched Showgirls, which is also on HBO.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Which is like the only widely distributed, like, was it NC-17? Whatever. Yeah, that movie is the only widely distributed one. Because I listened, my podcast that talks about like movie production had covered it. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. It was kind of like an unlikable protagonist and this and that, but it sucks to hear how like women previously just got torn to pieces for things that probably weren't their fault.
Yeah.
Since they're just going along with whatever their freaking director wanted. Did I watch anything? I don't know. What else have I done? There's a ghost in here. My dishes just fell over. I already told you my whole phone broke and car got total disaster.
Yeah, you're kind of going through it.
Yes, I am. And I'm like moving soon, and then my sister's bachelorette trip is next weekend. Oh no. Because I had to get a pink outfit for pink night, because we had themed nights that we had to dress to, and you wouldn't believe how hard it was to find a pink dress. Like, I hated everything that was pink in stores, and then I finally found something that at least looked flattering, but, like, so not Sarah's style. Like I feel blind after looking at all these, like, pink, like, vibrant color clothing. I was like, I can't see anymore. Everything's so bright. Like, this is the most vibrant piece of clothing in my closet now.
Nice.
But, yeah, so that's freaking took forever to find something.
You gotta be big and bright. You gotta be catching everybody's eyes.
Uh-huh.
By the corner of their eye.
Yep. I don't know if anything else of note super happened. Yeah. I guess we can get to it.
I mean, we can talk. Well, I got long summaries.
Oh, Lord.
It's not terrible, but it's pretty in there. So.
Good episodes. Lots of stuff happens in this show. This is why it's long.
But we'll start with some voice actors. We haven't really done this. I guess we did this last time. I don't remember. Anyway, we're gonna go with Oshi this time. So Oshi is voiced by Takeo Atsuka, who plays both of these voice actors we're going to cover today, like, do a bunch of stuff, but it's a bunch of stuff I haven't heard of. So I'm like, I don't know what to say about this. Like, this guy's done a bunch of background characters in Beastars. But the bigger stuff is he voices Aquamarine in Oshinoko, who I think might be the main character. I don't know. I've never seen Oshinoko. I've read the description of what the show's about, and it sounds not in my wheelhouse. He also voices Jinshi in The Apothecary Diaries, a show we will eventually watch at some point, probably.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And
I can't tell you who that was.
Nope, but in a lot of episodes, so it's probably somebody important. And for me, he voices Lada Nil in Mobile Suit Gundam, The Wish for Mercury. That's the brother of the pink-haired guy.
That? Okay.
He does more stuff in the second half of the show.
Yeah, zero recognition.
Zero hits for you? Okay, well, maybe we'll get the second one here. But probably not. The voice of Rin is Kaede Hondo. She likewise has done lots of stuff. Haven't watched some of it, or haven't watched any of this. Like, she's somebody in Bofuri, the, like, I don't want to get hurt, so I'll max out my defense, that kind of thing. The voice of Maple in that. I think my friend watched that. I don't know. Anyway, she's the voice of Sakura Minamoto in Zombieland Saga, which is a series that exists and I know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
She is the voice of Hakari Hanazono in The 100 Girlfriends Who Really, 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 Really Love You, which I heard people like the character designs in that. And
I guess because there's 100 characters.
Because there's 100 girls, that's right. And the only one I could recognize on the list is she is Atlas, one of the Vegapunks in One Piece. So
I guess I haven't gotten that far.
It's like newest arc stuff, so.
Okay, yeah, nope. Cool. So
very active, but not in things I recognize.
Or shoujo. So great. I mean, you think they're considered the series like top of their accomplishments or No,
it's not. It's not in their known for sections on IMDb.
Dang.
And it's not like highly favorited in my anime list either.
Dang.
Yep. So I don't know.
Sign of affection.
How popular is this show? Who knows?
I don't know. I it's so good. How could it not be?
Yeah, but most of the other stuff they're doing are like these like isekais and action stuff. You know what I mean? They're like a thousand background characters and all this other stuff. So
I'm ready for isekais to be not popular.
Yeah,
anymore.
I've been saying that for a decade.
When's that happening? Yeah.
I don't know. When did Sword Art Online come out?
Probably like 2011 or something.
2012. So since then, it's just been nonstop. Even though that, like,
damn you,
know,
you, Sword Art Online.
Right, that's the one that got really popular. I mean, it's not the first one because like, isekais have been around for a long time. But okay.
Uh huh.
Yep. You could just keep doing it. And I don't understand how any of these isekais like make any money, but I guess they do.
Because I don't know.
Somebody,
bunch of perverts.
Somebody wants it. I mean, they're not even all of them are horny. A lot of them, like I've watched some of them that are just nothing happens.
Ugh.
Weird.
But it's not slice of life.
It's not.
Nothing happened.
Yeah. Anyway, Sign of Affection, episode 5 is called The Answer. We open on Yuki and Itsuomi going to his apartment because last time he's like, we should just go eat at my apartment. Itsuomi explains that his family is overseas, so they're going to be at his apartment alone. And Yuki mulls this over as the OP plays. We cut to inside his apartment. Yuki is sitting on the floor while Itsuomi drinks beer on his couch. Why is she doing this?
Oh, why is she not sitting on the couch?
Why is she sitting on the floor?
I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like if they were like using the table for something, it would make sense. But
yeah, I mean, she's kind of sitting on the floor to set up what happens, it feels like. But I don't know why she's doing this.
Oh boy.
Anyway, he asks her if she had fun today and she signs back that she had fun. And he's like, me too. And then he grabs her hands and makes her do the sign for fun again, which is like you know, shake them a little bit, like you move them around. Then he gets on the floor and puts his arm around her and then he leans into her, but it's just so he can reach his phone. So this is why she's sitting on the floor, I guess.
Okay. Itsuomi, of which Goya calls him Itsu, so I might just say that, but
okay.
Itsu has mad game.
Does he?
The Riz is off the charts.
Is that true?
No, he's just so like nonchalantly like making physical contact. And I'm like, surely he must know that she's probably inexperienced and she's a shoujo protagonist, so everything is monumental. Don't you know, my guy? Like,
I do think it's kind of weird to say somebody has mad game if they're just an incredibly hot person. Because basically anything you do is good, so
that's true.
I'm deducting points for him for doing things like not saying hi when she walks in, that stuff.
Yes.
This is not.
Yeah, he keeps doing this thing, and we'll see it multiple times throughout these episodes where he says something knowing she can't see it. So I guess it's just like he can have external thoughts and no one's listening.
Yeah.
Or gives us the viewers more.
He's nonchalant and it works in this instance and then it doesn't work in other instances.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my take.
Yeah.
Anyway, he types out the following on his phone. Quote, has anyone ever told you that spending time with you makes one sleepy? Unquote. This is not.
Which I would take as I'm boring.
Yeah, this is not this is not having mad game, let me tell you.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, just.
And she's like, what? And then she types back, no. And then he clarifies that it's comfy. So I guess nice save. So Yuki decides to take it as a compliment. Also, he's incredibly hot. Let me mention that. she's like, I wonder. She's like, man, I wonder if we're compatible. Because like that was weird. Anyway, he gets a text from somebody in German that she sees on the screen because he's holding his phone up in front of them. And she's like, maybe I won't ever really know this guy. But I'm here now in his apartment, wrapped in his arms. This is good enough. We cut to Izumi dropping her dog Mint off to stay with Oshi because she's going on a family trip. And he's like, have fun, but he does it in a bratty way because Oshi sucks.
Yeah, he truly does. Nothing redeeming.
But we got the name of the dog, seen. Mint. Good dog name.
Yeah. Little white bit kind of dog.
Yep. He is about to go back inside, but trips on the stairs, and he's like, oh, that was foolish. And then he remembers how he called Yuki a fool earlier, and he was like, We cut to Kyoya and Rin in a car. The honeymoon moment is over, and Rin is struggling to make some conversation to talk to this guy while they're stuck in traffic. Kyoya's like, you can take a nap if you want. And she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. So it's going real bad from their drive home from Costco.
In the Jeep.
What? In a Jeep, yeah.
In the Jeep.
Rin's masterful plan is to ask him what kind of seasoning he likes, and then she's immediately like, fuck, why did I say that? But Kyoya plays along because he's a nice boy. What?
Understand. Like, they don't see, like, does she like him? She's like, get me out of this car immediately, but like,
well, she's like, I need to get out of here because I can't think of anything to talk about and I'm nervous. I know. I'm bombing.
But I don't know. She just flubs it a lot, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I don't know, juxtaposed, right? Because like Rin always feels like she needs to be talking.
Yeah. Yeah. And Yuki doesn't at all.
No. The different communication methods cause problems. Just take a nap, Rin.
For real. And then he can like use it as an excuse to gaze at you longingly.
He should keep his eyes on the road.
Without you knowing. Okay, fine.
Drive correctly. Back at the apartment, Itsuomi shows Yuki a family photo of him, his dad, and his much younger sister. We get a critical information and a graphic that shows that Itsuomi is a second-year international culture studies major and Rin is a second-year economics major. This comes up because Yuki asks why he's a second year if he's older than Rin.
Get wrecked! I was right!
Oh, okay. The person who read the manga knew the future information I didn't have. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
He says something, but Yuki can't quite piece together what his lips flaps are saying. So Itsuomi recognizes this and writes down on the pizza box that he did a work holiday and now he's 22. And I think a work holiday is when you go somewhere internationally and work there for a while. I think one of my friends did this. They like went to Australia or New Zealand or something. And
that's like a thing
work.
We do here.
It's a thing anybody can do.
Oh, so. Farm work in Australia sounds awful.
Yeah, it sounds bad. Honestly, I wouldn't do this.
It's terrible.
It really does sound like you're just going somewhere to do the work that people there don't want to do. Which I mean, good enough, I guess, if you want to go there, but I wouldn't want to do that work. Anyway, she writes asking where his family is now, and he pauses to answer, and then he turns to his bookshelf and takes the handwriting notebook, because they're not going to write on the pizza box anymore. And then he writes in the middle of a page that his family's in Germany. This made me mad.
Wasteful.
This is like
start from the top and go.
Yeah, he's not writing from top down. But also, it's like, this is like a notebook she spent a lot of time on, and you're using it as scratch paper, dude.
Oh, yeah. Well, we see, they adjusted it so that we see it being written in English, or do we just see the kanji and then the subtext?
We see, yeah, we see them writing and then the translation
that's
under
it. Okay, right. Because I'm like, do they go top? Well, I know they go right to left, but
they go top to bottom, right to left.
Yeah.
Well, they're just kind of freehanding
wasteful.
It.
Yeah.
In the notebook that she spent all this time on, dude.
Yep.
Buy a second notebook for scratch paper, my guy.
For real, or get a whiteboard.
They have a conversation. Oh, wait, did I say? Yeah, he writes that his family's in Germany. They have a conversation writing in the book, and we learn that Itsuomi also lived in Germany. And she's like, this is fun. It's fun to talk like this. She writes, oh, so that's why you know German, because of your family. And Itsuomi asks if her family uses sign language a lot. And we learn that her family doesn't know sign language at all.
Boo. Pity parents.
Boo.
That mom's going on our ranking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not
going to do well.
That's demerit points. He's like, oh, well, so how do you talk? And she's like, oh, you know, we talk in like all the other ways. Sometimes we gesture, sometimes we mouth. And he's like, what's mouthing? And Yuki explains that it's like lip reading, but there's more vocalization involved. So he's like, oh, do you like speak aloud sometimes? And she says that she only does it with her family. He's like, that sounds kind of tough that you can only do with your family. And Yuki thinks that the real reason she does it is because people say her voice sounds weird, so she doesn't want to. So she just kind of apologizes instead and tries to change the subject. Itsuomi walks off and returns with some pre-Euro European currencies. Then he brings over like a big mask he has and scares Yuki with it. And he tries to look for more stuff to show her, but turns when he hears Yuki laughing out loud.
Yeah, this is cute. Basically, it just he spooked her with a gum mask and she laughed at it. Mm-hmm. Cute little giggle.
Kyoya calls Itsuomi and Itsuomi tells him that Yuki is there with him in his apartment. And Kyoya's like, okay, I would need you to be cool, man. You know, like, be cool. And Itsuomi's like, yeah, dude. He's saying this while he feeds Yuki a macadamia nut. Very bizarre sequence of events happening here.
Yeah.
He thinks she could look like a squirrel, so then he gives her a bunch of macadamia nuts, and it's very funny.
I think he is hoping she would put them all in her mouth.
Yeah. Back in his now parked car, Kyoya fills Rin in on the situation, and he starts doubting what kind of guy Itsuomi is. He's always getting close to girls and then taking them home. But Rin's like, I don't think he's like that. And Kyoya's like, yeah, probably not.
I feel like he would know more than she would.
I feel like there's a lot of room to speculate when the guy goes on week-long international trips all the time. Like, what are you doing over there, bud?
When you're an enigma, as they keep calling him, it would be very hard to predict. But
yeah, he's a hot guy. Everybody likes him. He's going on all these trips. What's he doing on these trips? You know?
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know. They speculate whether or not Itsuomi is into Yuki, and Rin pivots to asking Kyoya if he's interested in anybody like that, but he's an awkward boy and deflects. He's like, let's go to dinner instead, and they drive off.
It's hard to tell if he's into her. I feel like he must be, since he's extending the time they're together, but he's very bad at, or maybe he just doesn't want to. I don't know. How much older is he?
I don't know.
We don't know that.
We don't know.
But
he's not. They're not doing as well.
Nope.
Back at the apartment, Itsuomi tries tickling Yuki to get her to laugh again, but she's like, "I don't want to laugh. It'll sound weird." But he's like, "No, it was cute." He brushes his hair, he brushes her hair over her ear and asks if she's wearing the hearing aids just so others think that she can hear them to make them feel better. And she's like, "Yeah, pretty much," because she's already said that it doesn't really help her navigate sounds very much.
Yeah.
Then he's like, does me asking you all these questions make you uncomfortable? And she's like, yeah. For you, it's fine. Because he's genuinely trying to learn things about her. So better late than never, I guess.
Yeah. Halfway through the series, ask that.
Halfway through the series, am I asking you too many personal questions? She shows him the sign for everything, but instead of telling him the meaning, she writes it on his hand with her finger instead. They do palm writing. Then Emma rings his doorbell because she's here now. Yuki decides that she's not going to intrude any longer, but is surprised when Itsuomi offers to walk her home because she's like, oh, he has a guest. She doesn't know it's Emma. So she's like, I'll step out. They exit the apartment and run into Emma, who's like right at the door. And she's like, oh, who are you with? And Itsuomi tells Yuki to wait downstairs. So she takes off to the elevator 5 feet away and waits for the elevator.
Yeah.
Emma is technically here to return his house key, but decides to loudly thank Itsuomi for letting her stay over while Yuki is still within earshot. Except, you know, she didn't hear any of that. And Emma's like, damn, she isn't reacting at all to me yelling this thing out.
Oh, my God.
She's very funny.
Emma is a mess of a person. Messy girl.
But you know who did hear her say that really loudly? Itsuomi, who's like, what the hell are you talking about? You didn't even sleep over. She's like, are you still mad? And he's like, no, I just need the key. And she makes a big fuss about returning the key, but reluctantly does. Unfortunately, the only part of the scene Yuki does see is Emma handing him the key. She's like, well, that sure seems like they're dating or something. But he did offer to walk me home, so I don't really know what's happening. She goes to the first floor and waits around. And decides not to ask Rin to meet up with her tonight because Rin's like, oh, I'll meet up with you tomorrow. She's just going to fill her in tomorrow. Yuki sees Emma claiming to Itsuomi again and just decides that she's done. So she just runs off. Itsuomi shrugs Emma off as they exit the building. A little too late there, bud. And gets a text from Yuki saying that she's just going to go. He tries to chase after her, but clearly doesn't know where she went. So rip them.
Embarrassing, Emma. Like, he's so clearly not into you and you're so clearly aware of that. Dude. Why?
It's so icky. She doesn't have it. Oh, she can't deal with being rejected. Soft rejected. I mean, he needs to outright reject her is the thing.
Yeah. Well, it's like, is it okay? We'll have more context for this guess, but I mean, maybe he's just trying not to be mean. Maybe he's not even that close of friends with her and he's just friends with Sheen. And, you know, Sheen likes her. So he's trying to not like intervene too much in this whole dynamic.
Yeah.
By being as neutral as he can. Yeah.
This does not get resolved in these three episodes.
Nope.
The following day, Yuki fills Rin in on the situation. They message back and forth on their phones while sitting across from each other. Rin's like, yeah, that's definitely weird, but like, I don't know. You should talk to him because he like really lights up around you. And like, you know, the way he speaks is way more affectionate with you than with anybody else. So, you know, there's definitely something between you guys. And Yuki thinks about what to do. And while she does, Rin invites Itsuomi over and goes to run an errand or something. I don't know. You two work it out. Bye. This was funny to me. I like Rin.
Yes. Rin, best wing woman. Hopefully Yuki gets to be in the position to help her out.
Yeah.
So far it's been Itsuomi who's trying to like kind of, well, it's more so for his own benefit, but Rin's also benefiting from him constantly ditching her with Kyoya.
That's true. I feel like Itsuomi is helping Rin more with Kyoya than Yuki is.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yuki is about to just like go with her, but then Itsuomi catches her arm. Elsewhere, Emma and Sheen are at a karaoke bar, but neither of them are singing, so they're just kind of sitting there at the, it's like a private room karaoke, you know.
Yeah.
Emma says that they should just drink, but Shin is working later today, so he's out. And Emma's dismayed that Itsuomi isn't reacting to her at all, and Shin tells her that she's trying too hard. And Emma's like, well, what does that mean? And then Shin offers to drink with her after work, and she brushes it off. Bad dynamics going on in this karaoke room.
Spoil her, yeah.
The karaoke room is cursed.
Yeah, and for real.
Back in Rin's apartment, Itsuomi asks Yuki if something is off. Then he says, if not, we could just pick off from where we left off last time. Yuki asks him why he wants to learn sign language, and he's like, well, I want to learn so I can talk to you, obviously. And Yuki's like, damn, this guy is great. And then he kisses her hand as we cut to credits.
Yep. Joe is not hard.
No, it's fine. It's cute.
Look, if other protagonists had their hand kissed like that, they wouldn't get any sleep or something. Their minds would be blown, you know? This is more action than we ever
get. That's true. This is the most romance we've gotten.
Yeah,
it's fine. I think my thing about it is, like, this is kind of just, like, a really easily resolvable misunderstanding, which, fortunately, is going to very easily get resolved, which I think is good.
Yep. Yay for not annoying miscommunication.
Yeah.
Extension.
Yep, but also, we'll talk about it next episode.
Yeah, next episode.
Episode 6 is called I Thought I Wanted to Keep Watching Her Forever. We open on Yuki wondering what kissing her hand could mean right before she appears to pass out as the OP plays. We jump back to
contact.
The scene. Yeah.
Ooh.
We jump back to the scene and she's okay. She's just like shaking a little bit. Itsuomi texts her asking if she's feeling lightheaded, and then is very nice to her while she tries to compose herself. Yuki pulls it together and asks if he understood her sign to him earlier, the one where she said everything, and he did. And she's like, "Well, he must know how I feel about him now because you know I'm being very overt about everything I do." But if he does, he sure isn't letting on because he asks if she came to see him at the bar or just wanted to go to that bar where she can't legally drink. Hey, why you keep coming to my work? Is it because you want to go to this bar you can't drink at? She works up the courage to sign that she likes him, but looks up to see that he's on the phone and didn't see her sign that.
This poor girl.
Oh, man. He's like, hey, I just heard that I have to go into work today. And also, I'm going to go on a long trip on Monday. So I'm not going to be back until after spring break. Nightmare guy.
Yeah, this is like really taking steam out of the romance ship.
Yuki thinks that this means he's going to be gone for a little over a month. Itsuomi requests that she send him some sign language videos for him to study, and he declares that when he gets back, he is going to make time for them, and Yuki is happy about that. Before leaving, Yuki...
Sorry, I was going to say, he's in like a foreign whatever major, but surely they're not like usually letting students be absent this much, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he can like work out some kind of like assignment where he... write something about the places he goes or something like that. I don't know. Like, international culture exchange doesn't feel like a major to me.
Yeah, no, it's maybe like a program, but
I mean,
more like you go and stay there kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe I'm just like,
come and go.
You know, the U.S. is too poisoned by capitalism, so the only thing you get is international business. But that's all I can think of. International relations major. I guess that's a thing.
Or how does he afford this?
But I feel like that's all about like governmental stuff. I don't know. Anyway. Before leaving, Yuki signs to Itsuomi asking why he kissed her hand, and he understands and mouths back to her, Yuki, may I fall for you? Which I thought might have been a pun because it's snow, because her name means snow and fall means stall, but if you look at the Japanese, it's not. And I'm like, dang, missed opportunity. instead of answering this, she's like, oh, don't you need to get going for your flight or to work or whatever?
I think she wasn't looking at him. So that's why it's like not addressed.
Yeah.
Another near miss. Saying stuff. Yep.
He leaves and Yuki runs out to hug Rin. Elsewhere, Oshii is walking Mint. He runs into Yuki's mom, and her mom seems to think that Oshii and Yuki are still good friends. And he says, she says he's a reassuring presence at college for her. And he's like, I don't know about that. I'm kind of more of a menace she's actively trying to avoid.
Yeah. At least he's aware of it.
Her mom is like, oh, that's nonsense. You both know sign language. Who else knows that? It's impossible to know. Oshii's like kind of annoyed by that. But he just says, you know, if she needs something, you know, let him know. He can take care of her, is what he says to her mom.
I feel like this is him just trying to set up the long game of like, leave your daughter in my hands.
I feel like this is him.
Marriage.
I feel like this is him being like, I need to get out of this conversation because I'm just getting pissed off.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if we're going to see any redeeming moments with her family. So far, not looking good.
But he's like, anyway, what's Yuki up to? And Yuki's mom tells her that she's staying over at a friend's house, and Oshii immediately pieces together what's happening. So he asks her mom for Yuki's phone number, because let's keep intruding.
Awful!
Let's just push as far as this can go, because Oshii sucks.
How cringy is that? You had to ask...
I had to ask your mom.
...for a number for... Yeah, this is so bad.
We cut to Rock and Robin. They were having a wedding after party there, but it's over now. And Kyoya tells Itsuomi that he's so hot, he took all of the women's attention. Then he's like, hey, man, remember when you told me you didn't want a girlfriend a while ago? How does that like square with what you've got going on with Yuki? And Itsuomi's like, why are you so concerned? And Kyoya's like, well, it's because you're like super spacey and do all this random stuff and I don't trust you. He doesn't say that part. Itsuomi says that Kyoya should really not get into like romantic gossip. Just keep to himself. He's like, okay, well, whatever. Then he gets more serious and says that Yuki is like a crystal clear glass or something because she grew up kind of sheltered and that makes her beautiful to watch. But now I'm trying to do more than just watch this beautiful, pure girl. So I guess I'm captivated. And Kyoya is like, well, that was weird, but you're so down bad right now. So,
yeah.
What do we think about his explanation of what Yuki is like?
I don't like that.
No.
It's kind of like, gross. Ooh, now I can just warp her to whatever I want her to be vibes. But
he says,
I mean, when I was watching it, I didn't take it away like that. But you do make it very like, oh, yeah, that is a little troubling.
I'm sure this isn't like this is supposed to be like more endearing because I don't think Itsuomi is like this guy. Yep. But like the words he said or the way it's translated, at least. The stuff that is said here is like, oh, she's so pure because she's never heard harsh words before. And I'm like, dude, do you think that people have just been nice to her because she's deaf? Is that what you think is happening? I bet the opposite has happened. I bet her life is way harder because of this, dude.
He has no idea. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh. This gave me pause. I don't like it when, but this is also just kind of a me thing. I don't like it when people are like, oh, women are such like delicate, pure flowers. Don't we love the purity of women? Yep. I'm like, ugh.
No, that's creepy. That's like,
it's bad, dude.
Yeah, it's bad. That's bad.
I mean, I'm sure.
Troubling
like,
concept.
I'm not sure. The like charitable interpretation of this.
No one's sure ever with him.
Yeah. I feel like the. Charitable interpretation is that like she's new to a lot of stuff, so he can like watch the pure enjoyment of her experiencing things for the first time, which is fun. I can see that.
Yeah,
I don't think I would call her a pure crystal clear glass or whatever.
Yeah, nah.
I think he loses some boyfriend points here for me.
Yeah. Nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect.
If the relationship goes smoothly, we have to make the characters problematic.
There has to be some problem in this show.
Yes.
Yuki and Rin show up to Rockin' Robin. They start interacting like usual, but then Itsuomi grabs Yuki and asks to borrow her for a sec. They step outside, but it starts to snow, and he gets cold, so Yuki offers her scarf to him, but instead, Itsuomi just pulls her in close for warmth. That's cute.
Uh-huh. I was like, this scarf, it would better than your other scarf, buddy.
Yuki, you have to give him a scarf, not because it's like a trope, but because he needs a better scarf. Please make him one.
Yes, we hate
his scarf game. Really despise
his other scarf too much.
They cutely talk to each other by writing on a dry erase board outside. Eventually, Itsuomi says that he's going to sign to her, and she should try speaking. Like in the future, not right now. I thought they were gonna do this right now. They did not. He does sign some stuff though. He signs some stuff that she didn't teach him, and also we don't get the full translation, so I can't tell you what this says. But Yuki is like reacting like it's some big thing. Yeah.
Yeah. All I noticed is that the sign behind her said that Brock and Robin has sundaes, so at least they have some food.
They got ice cream. Let's go.
Yeah.
You can get your what? What's the ice cream one? The drink?
What? A root beer float?
Ugh, I've lost it.
What?
Ice
cream drink?
Yeah, like a cocktail. But no, it's like an alcoholic drink.
Adult milkshake.
A what?
Adult milkshake. That's what's called on the Alamo. Brandy
Alexander. That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, I have never heard of that. Okay.
Well, that's what I was thinking of. A Dole milkshake? Oh, Dole, like the banana.
Adult.
Oh, adult. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Which are terrible. Because it's like, I want a milkshake. And then it's like, what is this weird taste in there?
Which is blasphemous to the idea of milkshakes.
Yes.
A scourge upon them.
Yes.
Anyway, Yuki reacts to this like this is a big thing. And then he asks her if she wants to become a couple with him. So there we go. He was asking her out.
No, that's. Yes, that's what he was doing.
That's what he was
doing. She's like, oh, snap. Does he know what that means?
Does he know what it means?
Yeah.
Okay. Her response. Instead of answering the yes, no question, she signs back. Why? And he's like, because I want to date you. And then she just signs back. Why again?
She's like, wants to hear him say he has feelings for her. So she's trying to prompt that out of
it's
him.
It's very funny because he's like, honestly, did not
just
think.
Said I love you and you missed it earlier this evening, my guy.
Yeah. He's like, I didn't think it would go this way. Anyway, he says that he travels all over the world, but only she is here. So, yeah. Interpret that as me saying I like you without me saying I like you.
Boo.
He can't tell her the pure crystal thing because that's weird.
Yeah, I can't say that.
Yuki's getting pretty emotional, is having a hard time lip reading. So Itsuomi pulls her in and says, "I want you," which is pretty hard to miss. I mean, that's better.
Yeah,
it's not I like you, but it's, you know, it's a desire
for that pure girl.
For the pure girl.
I want that purity.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Sparks, bam, emotion. Yuki nods vigorously in agreement. And then Itsuomi very nonchalantly is like, cool. This is where I think it sucks that he's nonchalant.
It's very hard to keep up with because he does these super like intense things, but then immediately he's like, you know, it's like you get jerked around because you're not able to like just shrug it off as quickly because you're still in it. You're still in the moment and then immediately. Moment cut short.
Yeah. This is why I think it's not.
Are we ever going to get to see him blush?
No.
We love a blushy boy. Damn it.
Well, they walk back in and Rin tells Rin and Kyoya that they're dating now. And everybody is shocked because of Itsuomi, who's very casual about all of this. And they all like have a little celebration. But then it gets close to time for them to leave. Itsuomi says he's going to walk Yuki home, even though she's staying with Rin. So hey Rin, while I'm doing that, you should just stay here and drink with Kyoya. Everybody wins. Rin gives Itsuomi her key and then asks what's going on with Emma earlier. Like, I never learned what that was about. And Itsuomi's like, oh yeah, okay, cool. I'll make sure to explain that to Yuki. And then they go walking home, or while walking home, Itsuwomi texts Yuki that Emma having his key wasn't a big deal. He was just letting her stay there for the night. And also, it's not going to happen again. And Yuki is kind of conflicted about like weighing in on his other relationships. But she's like, I'll just let this one go. So that's nice.
Yeah. Which is nice of her. Yes.
Like, I don't want
to. But also nice of him to immediately offer like, hey, we're dating now. I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yeah. 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 No, I think this was.
Yes. Look at it preventing any stupid, typical misunderstanding stuff for the future.
Right. Right. So this was good. Everybody's acting like a mature adult here. That's nice.
Yeah. Love it.
But then while she's looking at her phone, she notices that she got a text from Oshi telling her that he got her number from his mom or from her mom and to add him. And she's like, that's weird, but I'll worry about that later. More importantly, Itsuwomi.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry. It's wild they hadn't exchanged numbers before, because surely she's had a phone for quite some time, which literally means that she calls him childhood friend, as in the past. That friend's currently.
Yeah. Ugh. I don't know.
So bad.
Let's see. More importantly, Itsuwomi takes the opportunity to properly hold her hand this time as they walk home. And Yuki is like, finally.
Yeah, she acknowledges all the weird wrist holding not just stuff.
Grabbing her limp wrist like he's leading a child. Terrible.
Uh-huh.
Back at Rock and Robin, Kyoya and Rin talk about Itsuwomi and Yuki when suddenly Shin shows up. He asks if Itsuwomi is here, but when he's not, he decides to not third wheel and leaves. Itsuwomi and Yuki make it to Rin's apartment. He asks her if she has a passport, and she says she doesn't, and he says that she should get one so then they can go on international trips together, and she vows to make it happen soon. They say goodbye, and Itsuwomi starts to leave, but then turns back around and calls out to her, but obviously she can't hear him, so instead he comes up from behind her and stops her from opening the door. In like a cool guy way.
Uh-huh. I hate that tattoo so much.
The finger one?
I don't know why, but I just fucking hate it so much. Like, it makes me mad.
He hugs her from behind, and they stay there like that for a little bit. It's cute.
Uh-huh. Well, it's nice to see him, like, you know, like, be overcome by emotion enough to, like, go back for more.
Mm-hmm. Be a little more like,
you are also about to just hit it and quit it literally, where it's like, we're going out, bye for a month.
I'll see you in 4 weeks. And then we get a credit sequence that plays like a montage of moments from earlier in the series that heavily implies the show is just over now. It's extremely weird.
It's like, I don't know, like mid-season break. I guess maybe they took like a, they probably took like maybe. Maybe it's like between the fall and spring.
Can you do that? Are you allowed to do that for your show that's 12 episodes? Like, are you allowed to divide it in half? Like, this is a reasonable amount of time to have flashbacks?
Well, I just skipped it. Apparently that was a mistake.
It was a post-credit sequence.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
We got a post-credit sequence where Kyoya calls Itsuwomi on the phone and asks him why he asked Yuki out right before going on a trip. And Itsuwomi tells him that he and Yuki aren't going to break up anytime soon, so it's easier to do it now. And then the call ends and we cut to black.
Well, I could see it being like, I got to do it now, so while I'm gone, that freaking annoying friend that I don't even know how much she hates him tries to get in my absence. Yeah.
So the show's over. Goodbye, everyone.
It is not.
We end on the montage scene. They get together. They hug. The end.
Oh, stop it.
This is my current feeling about this show, which is like, we kind of did everything now and there's no conflict anymore.
No, we're just getting started.
Are we?
Because you're just so used to animes where like the entire show is getting to this point, but we get to see that people actually in relationships continue to experience
they
things.
They have to keep interacting? That's bullshit. Game. It doesn't just cut to black? We don't just hit the back cover of the book and it closes?
Nope.
That's weird.
No, we're here for it. Uncharted territory ahead of us now.
Yeah. So how do we feel about this?
Yay. Love.
Yep, it was cute.
Well, because it's like, they're together and there's so many things still to be done. So I hope we get more time with Rin and Kyoya, like not being weirdos with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would like them to become a more natural, like, interaction couple.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
What are your feelings?
I don't know. I don't really have like a lot of feeling because we just like did not learn. Like we learned facts about Itsuomi, but we don't really learn anything about him.
No. And confirmed dyes his hair because in the photo of his family he had black hair. Yeah. And I kind of think, is it better than the white hair? Possibly. That's going to be so bad for your hair to like
just bleaching it over and over again.
Both of them. Yes.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Why not good?
Well, anyways, we got exciting stuff going on in this next episode.
Do we?
I feel like unaccustomed to having title names that are actually comprehensible.
Oh, they aren't just like random excerpts from poems?
The Hayafuru.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to learn more about Itsuomi.
Yeah.
But we don't in episode 7. But I assume we will eventually. Loose.
Mystery boy.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like even though we get Yuki's perspective, I feel like there's a lot of things in her past that we haven't learned about. So I wonder. So I feel like we just still have a lot to learn about everyone.
Right. But we only have 6 episodes left. We're running out of runway.
It's like there's so much like happening between like establishing their relationship that we don't even learn that much about them themselves.
Yeah.
Or like where they are in life necessarily. So
yeah,
now that we've gotten to the point of like mutual, maybe that's when we then get to explore those things.
Right. So let's explore these things in episode 7, which is called Let Me Introduce You to My Girlfriend. We open on Itsuomi at the airport. He texts Yuki that he's going to Cambodia as the OP plays. Back in Japan, Yuki's on the train texting Itsuomi. She thinks that she really needs to get a job so she can buy a passport.
Do you have to? Hey, yeah, a lot for a passport.
I think it's like $60 or something here. Or maybe that's for a renewal. Maybe it's like $120 the first time.
Maybe she just means for once she gets her passport to travel.
Well, buddy. She also needs money to actually travel and stuff. She needs a job, basically.
Although he seems freaking loaded.
I guess with mysterious money.
Funds. Yeah.
Let's see.
Because he's actually, when he's on these trips, he's a drug mule or something.
Oh yeah, he's selling like weapons. He's
something. It's nefarious traveling.
She goes to a job interview, but the interviewer is wearing a mask, so she can't lip read, and she bombs. Then she passes a fast food restaurant called Happy Happy Burger, which looks like Burger King, and remembers that one of her classmates, Madoka, growing up, really wanted to work there and eventually got a job there. So she's like, I don't know, maybe I could get a job somehow. I'll ask her. She texts Rin and they meet up. Rin talks about her part-time job at a realtor's office where she has to do a bunch of stuff because it's busy season.
Okay, I feel like in that sequence, there's a dude, like, featured.
Yeah, her boss.
More than, so I'm like, is this going to be some kind of, like, thing where it's like, Yoya has to do something because this other guy's coming on to Rin? Because I don't know why they would give someone a face.
Yeah, it looks like, is he like in the OP or something? I feel like I should have recognized him from before, but all the guys kind of look similar.
I don't think so. Not someone of note. Maybe in the back. No, I don't think he's in the OP. Okay. But
all the guys kind of look similar in that they're all like tall and have the same length hair and color.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They all have those luscious lips.
Yeah.
But Itsuomi has the most luscious of lips. Like more than any chick on this show. Sorry.
Because he's the ultimate hot guy. He is the enigmatic hot guy that everybody wants. Yuki has not had any luck on her job hunt. Rin asks Yuki about her boyfriend and Yuki's like, oh man, is it okay for me to call him my boyfriend? And she's like, yeah, dude. We cut to Yuki applying for a data entry job. Madoka has texted her that she needs, giving her some advice on how to get a job as a deaf person. It's really not that different than like normal job advice besides like try to find accommodating positions and then just like apply to a ton of them. So,
well, do you think Japan has the same like laws about hiring, non-discrimination?
That's
hiring?
True. Japanese anti-discrimination laws, disabilities. This is my Google searching. We get to watch me. Google
searches. That way it's not just dead silence.
Let's see.
As I just wait.
The Act for Eliminating Discrimination Against Persons with Disabilities is a law that was signed in June 2013. When did this show come out? Or when did this manga get written?
This like in 2018, so...
Okay, so maybe.
After that, but not very long ago, so I could see, like, remaining, lingering biases in the workplace.
Yep. And who knows if this is like a really comprehensive law or not. Reason. I didn't read the whole thing.
Uh-huh. Yep. But something, maybe an element.
Let's see. We get a montage of Yuki doing the job rounds. She keeps getting rejected, though. Later, Yuki gets a text from Oshi asking if she wants to meet up with him and his sister, Mio, who's back in town. They meet up, and Yuki informs us that she was childhood friends with Mio, who learned sign language to, like, play with her. Unfortunately, Mio has been gone for long enough that she's forgotten most of her sign language. So she has to have Oshi do like real time translation for her, which he does pretty easily. They catch up. And after a while,
I mean, mm-hmm. Yuki can read lips. So I think she's just giving her brother purpose in being there in that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, hey, you do this. And so he's like, okay.
look at him doing the interpretation.
Yep. Yeah. After a while, Mio and Yuki exchange contacts. Mio sees that Oshi is kind of interested and starts complimenting him on his sign language and then teases him for not, like, translating that to Yuki. So she's like, you know, oh, you're not going to let me talk you up to Yuki, huh? And he's like, no, that's cringe. Mio texts Yuki that she looks like she's in love. And Yuki is like, how did you know? And Mio says, you look so much prettier. I could tell. And then she turns to her brother and tells Oshi to hang in there and then leaves.
Man. They always say that, like, oh, you just look prettier when you're in love in these animes. Is it, like, because you're trying harder to look better?
I don't know.
Or this just
I've never been in love, so I've never looked
prettier.
A woman
in love. No, Joe! No, Joe!
Let's see. Yuki asks Oshi if he's still studying sign language, and he says that he's probably going to try to become an interpreter, and Yuki's like, wow, that's pretty rare for a guy to take such a strong interest in sign language. Oshi gets embarrassed that Yuki is praising him and says to himself that he wants her to praise him more. Cringe.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, he covers his mouth so she can't see
yes.
that. But
think
yeah.
thoughts in your head, man.
At least somebody's blushing. My God.
Yeah.
There should be more.
There should be more. Blushing. It would be nice if there was more.
Other than just Rin and Kyoya by secondhand embarrassment from watching Itsuomi and Yuki.
Yuki turns to leave and Oshi asks if she's still seeing Itsuomi and she's like, yeah. And he asks if she's been staying over with him and stuff. But he looks down all sullen while signing this. So she chastises him for it. And he's like, whatever, answer the question. She tells him that she hasn't. And Oshi tells her not to overthink things. He doesn't like that this guy might be taking advantage of her disability. You know, I'm just looking out for you, you know? And Yuki's like, okay, cool.
You should have socked him.
Yeah, this sucks. Stop talking to this guy.
Yes.
She walks home and thinks to herself that Oshi isn't really worried about, like, her. He's more worried that people will misinterpret his interest in sign language as, like, being sympathetic or something. Which is totally unnecessary because nobody is thinking that. Nope. That's the only reason why he would care so much. No other reason.
Uh-huh.
Elsewhere at her job, Emma is spacing out. Itsuomi's been ignoring her text for a week, and her coworker is like, yeah, that's not great.
That's so cringe.
At her house.
God.
Yep. At her house, Yuki gets a picture of Itsuomi hanging out with some kids somewhere. He requests a sign video from her. Then he's like, oh, hey, I didn't say this before, but if I do anything that bothers you, let me know. And she replies, asking her not to tickle her again. And he replies, okay, is it okay if I touch you other places? And she's like, yeah, that's fine.
Oh, God.
There we go.
Scandal.
You know, listen, it's 4 weeks. You gotta get your sexting game going. Yuki thinks about her life like the sky and misses Itsuomi.
Oh. This is where I made it up, like, we get it. Your name means snow. Jesus.
Her name means snow. She uses the kanji for snow.
Enough with the snow falling, blah, blah, blah. What is his name? Does his name mean sky? Since we're getting such literal meanings for her name.
I don't think so.
What does Itsuomi mean?
I don't. Sky is like Sora, so Itsuomi means nothing. It's just a name.
Oh, Okay.
Let me see if there's like any weird cons going on with it. Constant. Doesn't seem like it.
What are you going to talk about when freaking it's summer, girl? What analogies are you going to use?
You're
going to
fall apart when the sun comes out. We get a montage of some stuff Itsuwomi sent Yuki about his travels. He's visited Thailand, Myanmar, and India, among other places, I assume. She reads through this before seeing another job rejection. Which, hey, at least they're sending you emails rejecting you and not just ghosting you like everybody here does.
Yeah. Yep.
Suddenly.
Especially for like part-time jobs. Yeah. So that's way more professional than these full-time jobs.
For sure. Suddenly, Itsuomi texts her saying that he's back and they should get lunch, and Yuki rushes off to see him. She stops at a train passing, and it turns out that Itsuomi's just on the other side of the tracks. They wave to each other, and Itsuomi mouths that he wants to hug her, if that's all right. And she's like, yeah, that's cool, as the train passes. The gate lifts and he walks over and she makes him sit down and preps herself for a hug, which is very funny to me.
Yes.
She like closes her eyes and like opens her arms out expecting a hug. But instead, Itsuomi leans in and kisses her. And she's like, holy shit, what the hell? And then realizes that she misread his lips earlier. He didn't say hug. He said kiss. Shit. Fuck. I'm such an idiot. She thinks to herself, she's like, damn, this is my first kiss, and this is how it
went. She was all like, yeah, hug. So he's like, oh, she wants to kiss me.
Yeah, like, from his perspective, she's, like, putting her arms out. Like, that's weird. Anyway.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Very funny.
Her first kiss. Her
first kiss.
And he doesn't know it.
Nope. Well, she didn't know it either.
She's 19. That's not out of the realm. I feel like it's very normal.
Yeah, no.
To not have kissed by then.
That's fine. It's fine, though.
I don't know. He must have a lot of experience.
Listen, he's going on these international trips. I know what they do on international trips.
Yeah,
I know what they do in hostels. Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's fine, though.
Oh, no.
They walk together while Yuki tries to cool down. In a random cafe, Izumi sees Yuki and Itsuomi walking together and wonders what that's about. Well, sucks for Oshi, I guess, which is also my feeling about it.
Well, I feel like Izumi's got to be into Oshi, right? We know nothing about her. She felt like a throwaway character, but like, I don't know. Is she just there to interpret what Oshi's feeling for us since he's not going to be blatant about it? I don't. That's Mint's owner for anyone having a hard time remembering because she's so not. She's only interacts from afar.
Mm-hmm. Yuki and Itsuomi go to a restaurant. Itsuomi uses finger spelling to recommend a dish to Yuki. Because he's been practicing, and then they both do some fingerspelling together. They eat lunch, and it's great. Itsuomi pays, and Yuki thinks that she really needs to find a job so she can pay for some stuff. They chill at a park, and Itsuomi texts her saying that he has something important to talk about with her. He wants to reintroduce her to Shin, the hairstylist, you know, the drunk guy from before. Yuki says that that's fine, but she's kind of scared, and he's like, oh, because of, like, being deaf? All right, well, like, don't worry about it. We don't have to do this. But Yuki says it's fine. Let's go meet Shin. Itsuomi says they'll hold hands, and if she wants to leave, she can just squeeze his. And then they set off to go meet Shin. They go to his apartment, and Yuki prepares herself to deal with drunk Shin, but sober Shin answers the door instead, and he seems like a pretty normal guy, so Itsuomi introduces Shin to his new girlfriend as we cut to credits.
Ooh, girlfriend.
Finally, we're learning something.
Dean has changed his hair, and I like it better. Everyone's just damaging their hair forever.
Yep.
Yep.
There we go. Episode 7. We have 5 episodes left, and like, we don't know anything about anybody. This is my complaint.
No. Well, it feels we only have 12 episodes.
Like we're spinning our wheels.
There's
here.
No time.
Like,
what do you mean?
The first half of this feels, it's like very sugary sweet, right? It feels like I'm eating candy, you know, where it's like, oh, this is so cute and whatever. And like, not whatever, but like, this is really cute. It's fun to just like watch these people like get together. Everybody acts like adults. It's cute to watch them interact and for Yuki to be flustered and stuff like that. But now I kind of want something a little bit more substantive. I don't know if I'm going to get that.
Well,
maybe it's just a
dessert.
They've
already kissed, so.
No. So I need something substantive from like a person level, you know, like we're doing the romance thing, but like, what's it like as these people being together?
Well, hopefully he grills her mom about not signing.
Yeah. So I'm hoping we figure out what everyone's deal is.
I think we just get to like, for once in a show, we get to navigate any issues that come up as a couple, like. And they'll, you know, just because they're together doesn't mean they're done learning about each other. So I think it's just going at like, instead of a normal, like, you know, story presented to an audience, it's like more organic, where you don't know if you don't, well, especially in Japan, because I feel like they just start dating before they know each other, just as someone asks them to go out kind of thing. So I feel like very much there, it's like you learn about the person after you've already like started a relationship. So yeah, we're just gonna.
Yeah. But we're running out of time.
Just a different.
I needed to move a little bit faster.
Yeah. Well, like,
why do we, why is Oshii in this story? He's just a guy who sucks.
Yeah, he does suck. Get him out of here.
What is he doing? Why is he here? What's going on with Emma? Like, something needs to be happening that's interesting, right? She can't just be like this because Itsuo has already brushed her off.
Emma needs to take a hike. Yeah. Wait till she finds out that they're dating.
So, I don't know. There needs to be something. Come on. Let's go. I'm interested to see what the next three episodes are. What?
Yeah. Well, we'll cover them. We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm sure stuff is going to happen.
Hopefully.
At least this show is very romantically fulfilling as a viewer.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I knew more about Itsuomi.
Itsuomi is so bizarro. He's just a strange dude. I wish he was a bit more understandable, or like I could root for him more if I knew more about
him. I feel
him.
Like he's coasting too much on being hot. I feel like he's leaning on that like a crutch, you know? Like Yumi's putting herself out there. She's like saying stuff. She's like building up the courage to do things. Itsuomi just is like, oh yeah, I'm tall and hot and I have big fingers or whatever, so I can like reach over and like touch things. It's fine.
Yeah, that's probably because I feel like I don't remember. Yeah, because we get so much more from other, or we have more time to get to know before we get to the point that we see them interacting so heavily. But I'm down for a change of pace. So we'll see what comes next.
The pace isn't the problem. It's the amount of episodes we have left. That's the problem. Like, what's Itsuomi's goal?
Well, do you think then maybe there won't be a season two if other viewers were like feeling the same way?
I don't know.
It's been a year since it came out. I don't know if it's season two. Are you looking it up or?
I don't even know how to look this up. Sign of Affection season two.
Yep.
I'm reading through some SEO garbage. Not yet renewed.
Dang. Okay.
From this thing that was written in March. No announcement.
Dang. Okay. Well, maybe one day.
Well, we'll see. We'll see where it ends. Maybe it'll end in a spot where something can happen. Because I would like something to happen. And in the show from here on out.
What do you want to happen?
I don't know. This is the thing. It's like they've closed. I feel like they've done such a good job of being like, oh, these are mature adults that are acting like rational people, which means that like Oshii's in the show as like a romantic rival, but he's currently batting like negative points in that how that could ever happen.
And they're already in a relationship.
There's no way you can pivot him to being a romantic interest to Yuki, to me.
I think he's just going to be an antagonist to the relationship.
Unless something major happens, like something like ridiculous has to happen for that to be the case. Same with like Emma. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, that's not really.
No.
There's just no chance of that happening either.
Well, I mean, we can assume that Jin likes Emma. So we're guessing that Emma eventually, you know, accepts that Itsuomi's not into her and is in a relationship. And then at some point they get together, and then we have Kyoya and Rin. So that's two other couples to get some time with and have maybe more conflict through them than through our main couple. Because they're coasting, just like in the Love Island villa. They're just trying to win the 50K by having no problems whatsoever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, she can take a hike. With Mint the dog. Just go walk the dog.
Yep. So there we go. That's my feelings. But
yep. Well,
two more weeks.
Yep. Oh yeah. Look at that.
We'll be done.
Uh-huh. And then freaking Kihaya season 3.
Woo. We go back to watching Tai Chi be miserable. That's good.
But we love Tai Chi.
Oh, I love watching Tai Chi be miserable.
There's the character we've gotten to see so much from. With so little romantic.
It's very, again, another show we have where like the main guy is fine and kind of cool. Like, you know, we like him well enough and all of the other guys suck. I'm going to guess Shin's fine and Kyoya's fine.
Well, we barely know them. Basically,
they're just nothing guys.
Yeah.
The background guy characters are really unappealing in all of the shoujo we've watched.
Meh. Yeah, I guess. Well, we like. Oh, God. what's his name? Kazehaya's friend. The not
Kazehaya's friend.
Kazehaya's dude. Baseball guy. He means Ichigo. Okay.
Ryu.
Yeah, but he's like Ryu's like, good, though we didn't get very much.
I guess that's true. He's pretty good. I guess I kind of liked what's his face in Skip Beat. What's his face's manager guy who was just like, "What's happening?"
Oh yeah. Yeah, I guess it's all about the girls in these shows,
which makes sense.
Yeah. We'll get some. Yeah, the more we cover, the more we'll have.
The more we'll have to pull upon. We'll find some. Okay, yeah. Background guys soon.
Yeah. The series we cover once we finish Chihaya Furu. That one's got a lot of good like side characters.
Okay.
Good. Of which you guys, if you want to find out what that show is, you'll have to keep listening. Find out. What our seventh show is going to be.
We'll tell you in like 3 months or something.
Yeah. But until then, you guys.
Are we signing off?
Okay.
You said that until then.
Nope. I'm trying. Well, that was going to be like.
This is the part where you rate us 5 stars. You like this episode. We like this episode. Give us 5 stars. Give us the stars. Put a 5 on there. Leave a comment on the thing. If you can leave a comment on the thing. It's good. We like it. We read all of them. Uh-huh. Good. Yep. Thank you for listening.
Yes. Even if you listen primarily on Spotify, if you're an iOS user, you probably have Apple Podcasts. You could, even if you don't listen there, you could just drop the written review. Would be great, even if that's not where you listen. That would be a big help. Although Spotify is where it's at for us. A lot of our listeners
people
are
like the green app. I just got rid of Spotify. Correct.
Because everything's evil.
Well, it's because I can get YouTube Music because I'm on like a premium thing with
Gotcha. Okay, nice.
Yep. Right. What did we learn?
Lesson.
Just
he's just not that into you still. Oh my God. Emma. If he doesn't text you, well, one, I would think he's gotta be getting charged so much for those international texts. Icky girl, he's not into you.
Yeah, just let it go. If you're trying too hard and it's not working, it's over.
Yep.
You don't have to wait till you start dating somebody to properly hold their hand. You can just hold their hand correctly the whole time. It's okay.
Yeah, I've never had someone grab me by the wrist like that.
How would you respond? Would it
be doesn't have to be like, the romantic. I'd be like, hold my hand right.
You'd be like, dude, what the heck?
Hey, I have fragile wrists, my guy. Like,
I'm a gamer. These are important wrists. You can't just be jerking these
yes.
around.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, it's weird.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, we should have, I've been dumping all of the bonus episodes. We should have gotten the Dominion one recently. Hopefully we'll have the Fallen Kingdom one in the next week or so.
Nope. Rebirth.
I keep saying the wrong thing. Rebirth.
It's because you're like, Fallen sounds negative, and that's your thoughts on the movie. Yeah. That's like.
You're going to be surprised by my thoughts about that movie.
Oh.
Let me just say.
Oh my god. Okay. Now I'm
a
just
teaser
kidding.
For a
oh
bonus
god,
episode
like
that
it?
Doesn't exist yet.
Nope. I can't wait now.
All right. Well,
okay.
Look forward to that, team.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Next time.
Team.
Episodes 8, Dojo 9, and 10.
Of the sign of
affection. Sign of affection. Yep.
We should have done some kind of. I was going to say, we should have done some kind of like. Show us the sign of affection by leaving.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Bye bye for realsies.
Goodbye.